No, Saul told Saray. We will not go to Hyperion. It is not the correct solution. You would have us do nothing, then? Saray's lips were white with answer, but her voice was firmly in control. No, I would have us not do the wrong thing. Saray expelled her breath in a hiss. She waved toward the window where the 4-year-old was visible playing with her toy horses in the backyard. Do you think she has time for us to do the wrong thing, or anything, indefinitely? Sit down, Mother. Saray remained standing. There was the faintest sprinkling of spilled sugar on the front of her tan cotton dress. Saul remembered the young woman rising nude from the phosphorescent wake of the Motal Isle on Maui Covenant. We have to do something, she said. We've seen over 100 medical and scientific experts. She's been tested, prodded, probed, and tortured by 24 research centers. I've been to the Shrike Church on every world in this web. They won't see me. Melio and the other Hyperion experts at Rikes say that the Shrike cult has nothing like the Merlin sickness in their doctrine, and the indigenes on Hyperion have no legends of the malady or clues to its cure. Research during the 3 years the team was on Hyperion showed nothing. Now research there is illegal. Access to the time tombs is granted only to the so-called pilgrims. Even getting a travel visa to Hyperion is becoming almost impossible. And if we take Rachel, the trip may kill her. Saul paused for breath, touched Saray's arm again. I'm sorry to repeat all this, Mother, but we have done something. Not enough, said Saray. What if we go as pilgrims? Saul folded his arms in frustration. The Church of the Shrike chooses its sacrificial victims from thousands of volunteers. The web is full of stupid, depressed people. Few of these return. Doesn't that prove something? Saray whispered quickly, urgently. Somebody or something is preying on these people.
Bandits, said Saul.
Saray shook her head. The Golem.
You mean the Shrike?
It's the Golem, insisted Saray, the same one we see in the dream.
Saul was uneasy. I don't see a golem in the dream. What golem?
The red eyes that watch, said Saray. It's the same golem that Rachel heard that night in the Sphinx.
How do you know that she heard anything?
It's in the dream, said Saray, before we enter the place where the golem waits.
We haven't dreamed the same dream, said Saul. Mother, why haven't you told me this before?
I thought I was going mad, whispered Saray.
Saul thought of his secret conversations with God and put his arm around his wife.
Oh, Saul, she whispered against him, it hurts so much to watch, and it's so lonely here.
Saul held her. They had tried to go home. Home would always be Barnard's world, 6 times to visit family and friends. But each time the visits were ruined by an invasion of newsteeps and tourists. It was no one's fault. News traveled almost instantaneously through the mega-datasphere of 160 web worlds. To scratch the curiosity itch, one had only to pass a universal card across a Terminex disky and step through a Farcaster. They had tried arriving unannounced and traveling incognito, but they were not spies, and the efforts were pitiful. Within 24 standard hours of their re-entry to the web, they were besieged. Research institutes and large med centers easily provided the security screen for such a visit, but friends and family suffered. Rachel was news.
Perhaps we could invite Tetha and Richard again, began Saray.
I have a better idea, said Saul. Go yourself, Mother. You want to see your sister, but you also want to see, hear, and smell home. Watch a sunset where there are no iguanas. Walk in the fields. Go.
Go? Just me?
I couldn't be away from Rachel. Nonsense, said Saul. Twice in 20 years, almost 40, if we count the good days before. Anyway, twice in 20 years doesn't constitute child neglect. It's a wonder that this family can stand one another. We've been cooped up together so long. Saray looked at the tabletop, lost in thought. But wouldn't the news people find me? I bet not, said Saul. It's Rachel they seem to key on. If they do hound you, come home. But I bet you can have a week visiting everyone at home before the teeps catch on. A week, gasped Saray. I couldn't. Of course you can. In fact, you must. It will give me a few days to spend more time with Rachel. And then when you come back, refreshed, I'll spend some days selfishly working on the book. The Kierkegaard one? No. Something I've been playing with called The Abraham Problem. Clumsy title, said Saray. It's a clumsy problem, said Saul. Now go, get packed. We'll fly you to New Jerusalem tomorrow so you can cast out before the Sabbath begins. I'll think about it, she said, sounding unconvinced. You'll pack, said Saul, hugging her again. When the hug was completed, he had turned her away from the window so that she faced the hallway and the bedroom door. Go! When you return from home, I'll have thought of something we can do. Saray paused. Do you promise? Saul looked at her. I promise. I will. Before time destroys everything. I swear, as Rachel's father, that I'll find a way. Saray nodded, more relaxed than he had seen her in months. I'll go pack, she said.